in God's Word this morning, Jonah chapter number 1. Jonah, what a famous story it is, and some things I believe will be a help to us as we look into some of the details of the book of Jonah. We'll begin here in chapter number 1. The Bible says in Jonah 1, verse number 1, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? And what is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land. But they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah, and cast him forth into the sea. And the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. First question that some people ask is, do you believe that, preacher? Absolutely. I believe that Jonah was swallowed by a great fish, and that he was there for 3 days and 3 nights. I don't know if he died in the belly of the whale or not. I'll find out for sure, but I believe it wholeheartedly. I believe what the Bible says. If the Bible said that Jonah swallowed a great fish, I'd have believed that too, because I believe God's Word's true. And we come to this passage of Scripture, and we see some wonderful things. The story of Jonah. I'm going to preach a message today. You can find the title in verse number 6. It'll take us a little while to get to the title, but I want to share it with you now. The Bible says in verse 6, the shipmaster came to him, Jonah, and said to him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? What's Jonah doing? Jonah's running from God. He's in the bottom, in the side of the ship, and he's fast asleep. And the shipmaster comes to him and asks him a question that I believe by the conclusion of the message we'll understand, and one that we need to ask ourselves. What meanest thou, O sleeper? Why in the world are you asleep? Why are you asleep? But I want to begin with a long introduction and telling you the story and beginning an introduction to this book of Jonah. Lord willing, I'm going to spend some time here in the next little while, probably again tonight. Jonah. Jonah's a prophet of God. Jonah's a guy that has been serving the Lord for a long time. Most people believe that at this moment in Jonah's life, he'd been at it for some time. He's not a young rebellious prophet. He's an old rebellious prophet. And he's the kind of guy that has developed in his core a hatred for a group of people. By the way, do not be guilty of that. Not only should we not develop in our hearts a hatred towards groups of people, but we should not develop a hatred in our heart toward any people. First thing we think is, you don't know what they've done to me. No, I don't, but God does, and he's required of us forgiveness. Jonah, let's meet him. Look at the Bible says in verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai. Now the first thing I see is a privilege. What happened to Jonah? God had spoken to his heart. God had worked in Jonah's heart. God had given word to Jonah. God had worked in Jonah's circumstances. God had spoken in a still small voice. God had directed Jonah. Jonah had heard from heaven. Jonah was a man who knew God, believed God. The Bible says in verse 2, Jonah had been spoken to by God, and God told him to do something. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. What did God tell him to do? Go to Nineveh. What's significant about that? Well, the Bible says it was a great city. The Bible says it was a wicked city. And God called Jonah and said, go tell Nineveh that they're rotten. They're wicked. They're sinners. Why does God send preachers to tell people they're sinners so we can put them under our thumb and make them feel bad? No. God sends preachers to tell folks that they're sinners because there's good news beyond the fact that we're sinners. The good news is Jesus forgives our sins and gives us peace with God and joy in our hearts and will change our lives. And God called Jonah to preach to Nineveh. But I'll just tell you something. Jonah hated Nineveh. Now, he had some calls as far as earthly ideas and notions were concerned. Nineveh was a world superpower at the time. Nineveh was a place where there were literally, by most estimations, more than 1 million citizens in Nineveh. Nineveh was a conquering nation. Nineveh was well known for their brutality. Nineveh was a place that had been moving and expanding their borders, and the stories that you hear about Nineveh were awful. Nineveh hurt people. Nineveh did things wrong. Nineveh had the wrong motives. Nineveh was bad. And in Jonah's eyes, to make things worse, Nineveh was a Gentile nation, and Jonah understood that if nothing changed, if Nineveh did not fall, that there was a great likelihood that Nineveh would conquer Jerusalem. And so a hatred had boiled up in the heart of Jonah toward a group of people. Now, I'll just tell you something. I believe patriotism's right, but I think hate is always wrong. I think we have to, in certain instances, have to stand our ground and protect our freedom. But it cannot be in the heart of a child of God to hate any group of people or any person individually. Yet Jonah was called to go to Nineveh, and because he hated Nineveh and he knew the love and compassion of God, he knew that if he went to Nineveh and told them that they were sinners and God was going to judge them, he knew how loving and kind and gracious God was, and he knew that God would redeem and save even the wicked Ninevites. And Jonah hated the Ninevites so bad that he was willing to turn his back on God. You know what Jonah did? Jonah decided that his way was better than God's way. Is that ever right? No. If you're tempted to do things your way instead of God's way, the only person that you're hurting is you. I can't say that, actually. If you're a parent and you decide to do things your way instead of God's way, you're hurting the kids too. Jonah said, no, I am not going to Nineveh. I'm not going to Nineveh. As a matter of fact, what did he do? The Bible says in verse 3, Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. What did he do? He goes and gets on a ship. He gets on a ship going the opposite direction. He goes to Joppa, and he heads away from the presence of the Lord. At least that's what he thought. The ship begins to sail, and The Bible says in verse 4, the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea so that the ship was like to be broken. They said, man, it's getting rough. And then we meet the mariners. You see the Bible says in verse 5, the Bible says, then the mariners. I like to think about these mariners. These poor guys, Jonah had made a big mess for them, hadn't he? By the way, it goes to our point just a moment ago. If you're here and you're saved and you know the Lord, and you are rebelling against the Lord, rebelling against God, running from God, I want you to know something. You're making messes, not just for you, but other people around you. The story of Jonah is a call to return to the Lord and to God's way. So the mariners, these poor guys, they're pagans. They don't know the God of the Bible. They were mariners. They were shipsmen. And they did not understand all that was going on, but they knew that there was a storm like they'd not seen before. So scared were they that they said, we're going to figure out who is responsible. They said, well, they're looking around, the ship's about to break in two, and they're like, what are we going to do? We got to figure out whose fault this is. Look what the scripture says. I love it. The mariners. Jonah's fast asleep in the boat. The shipmaster comes down to him and says, what meanest thou, sleeper? Verse 6, arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. They said, we're all praying to our God. You get up and pray to yours too. In verse 7, they said every one to his fellow, come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Now, I don't recommend this as a way to discern God's will, but they cast lots. They literally flipped a coin, spun the bottle, and they spun the bottle that day on the ship, and it pointed right at Jonah, and they said, uh-huh, you're the man. You're guilty. And the Bible says in verse 8, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. He said, Whose fault is this? Why is this going on? They look at Jonah and they start pestering with questions. If you look at verse 8, there's question mark after question mark after question mark. You see that? They say, what's your occupation? Can you imagine? Jonah's running from God. And the first thing they say, what's your occupation? Prophet. Prophet. It'll be like the preacher getting caught in a compromising situation. Where do you work? Joy Baptist Church. What's your occupation? I'm a prophet. Whence comest thou? When'd you come? Just the last few days. God sent me to Nineveh, but I hate those people, and I'm not going. So I got on your boat because it's going the opposite direction. What is thy country? He had to humble himself and lower his head because he's from Jerusalem. He is from God's country. It's almost like being from Chilhowee, isn't it? They said, of what people are you? He said, well, I'll tell you. Verse 9, he said to them, I'm an Hebrew. Oh, like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Hebrew. Yeah. Like Moses, Hebrew? Like, you know, Moses, you know the stories we've heard about the Red Sea parting and those folks crossing on dry land, and the stories we've heard about the water collapsing on the nation and on the armies of Egypt, the same God that sent all those plagues, the same God that we've heard can raise the dead, the same God we heard fed a million people in the wilderness for 40 years with, what is it from heaven? Some kind of manna? That God? The same God that crushed the walls of Jericho? Are you one of those Hebrews? We're praying to our God when a man that knows the real God, the God that does miracles, the God that's created, we're praying to our God and you're on our boat, a prophet? A preacher? A person who knows God? That's me. I'm here. Look what they say in verse 10. The mariners. Then were the men exceedingly afraid. They said, whoa! if that God is mad at you and you're with us on this sea, from what we're seeing, this is dangerous. We're exceedingly afraid. And they said unto him, I love this question. It's probably my favorite question in this chapter. Why hast thou done this? Why in the world? You know what the mariners are saying? They're like, prophet, Hebrew, Moses, Jacob, Abraham. Why'd you do that? Why would you turn your back on that God? Why would you run from His will? What's wrong with you? Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Verse number 11, then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? Now he's an authority in the boat. He knew God. They said, what can we do to calm this sea? And look at the callousness of Jonah. Jonah's heart is still full of hatred. He'd rather die than see the people of Nineveh get right with God. Look what he says in verse number 12. He said unto them, take me up, cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. I'm confident if he'd repented of himself and said, let's go back to shore, I'll go to Nineveh, he'd have never had to spend any time in a whale's belly. If he'd repented, he'd never had to suffer another moment on a raging sea because God would have made it possible for him to do his will. He said, no, throw me in the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Verse 13, nevertheless the men rowed hard to bring it to land. You know something I see about these mariners? These pagans, they have more admonition and respect for God than the prophet did. You know what they didn't want to do? They said, well, I'll tell you one thing. If you're a prophet and he's your God, we ain't throwing you in the water. We're not going to murder you. We're not going to have your blood on our hands. And so the Bible gives this picture that these mariners, instead of throwing him in the sea like he said they should, they row. They like, we're not murdering you. We fear your God more than that. And so the Bible says the men rowed hard, verse 13, to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous. They had more value for his life and more fear and respect of God than the prophet did. So we're not going to kill you. Until finally they tried all they could to take him to land and shore and drop him off somewhere, and they couldn't. The Bible says in verse 14, wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. They said, Lord, please forgive us in advance for what we're about to do. I don't recommend you doing that. You know you're getting ready to do something wrong. And you pray, Lord, please forgive me for what I'm about to do. He doesn't forgive it in advance, just so you know. You know I'm going to do something real bad. Lord, please forgive me in advance for what I'm getting ready. That is not scriptural, by the way. Don't do it. They said, Lord, we've tried, and we're just going to do what we think we got to do. And I can see him. One, two, whoosh. Sploosh. There went Jonah. They cast Jonah into the sea. Look what happens. Verse 15, they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. What happened? These men, they're like, there's something. Everything we dreamed to be true about that God, his God, Jehovah God, it's true. They had an experience and they've made vows to the Lord. They put their trust in the Lord right there. It's fascinating to see it. Today I'd like to draw our attention to that phrase I told you about earlier in verse number 6. What meanest thou, O sleeper? When I come to verse number 1, I see a man that's a prophet. I see a man who has a relationship with the God of the Bible. I see a man of great privilege, a person who God has spoken to his heart and worked in his life and used him to translate it to this New Testament day. I see somebody who'd heard the gospel and repented of their sin and trusted Jesus by faith as their Savior. I see somebody who knew God, somebody who had experienced what God, the peace that God can give them, the work that God can do in their hearts. And I see somebody, in spite of the fact that God had spoken to his heart and God had given him a work to do and God had given him a people to reach and given him something to accomplish with his life, in spite of that, he was going to do anything and everything he could to leave God behind and do what he wanted to do. Was that a wise decision? No. I want you to know something. It is never a wise decision to choose your way over God's. It may feel better for a minute, but it's never better. It's never better. And old Jonah, it was bitterness and hatred toward the Ninevites that drove him. What is it? It was selfishness in Jonah's life that drove him to choose his way over God's. But we see Jonah down in the belly of a boat, asleep. And even the pagans around him said, "What's wrong with you? Why are you sleeping? Get up. We've got something to do. Wake up." Long introduction, maybe a short message. We'll see. Point number one. The Bible says here in verse number two, God calls Jonah. It says, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." Verse number three, God's called him. And verse number three, the Bible says, "But Jonah." God gave clear instruction, "But Jonah." Point number one, "But Jonah." You see, God called him. God gave him something to do. God gave him a work to accomplish. God changed his life. But Jonah, what did Jonah do? Submit to the Lord and reap the benefits of being blessed by God? No. Jonah, like the bonehead that he was, did what Jonah wanted to do. And the next thing you know, he's swallowed by a whale and thrown up on the shore of Nineveh. But Jonah. I want you to see a few things in this verse. Verse number three. "But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Look at the end of verse number three. "And went down into it." He went down into the boat. Why? "To go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Why did Jonah say he needed to get to Tarshish? Jonah said, "If I can get to Tarshish, I'll get away from the presence of the Lord." Can you imagine a prophet being that silly? Where can you go to get away from the presence of the Lord? Nowhere. 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 I'll tell you something. It's in the culture of the East. Middle Easterners, Muslim people, Muslim men specifically believe that there are places where you can hide from the presence of God. We've learned this studying the culture of Eastern religion, and no doubt it's got its origination here. We see Jonah. Jonah had this idea, if I can get out of Israel, if I can get out of Jerusalem, if I can get out of church, I can get away from God. I can get out of his presence. He'll have to leave me alone. God's not in Tarshish, that's for sure. Boy, was he fooled. You know where God is? He is everywhere present. He's everywhere present. Now look, we get this idea. We have these "but Jonah" moments where we think, you know, I don't want to do what God wants me to do. I know I've been saved. I know God's called me. I know God's worked in my heart. I know there's certain things that God wants me to do. But if I can get away from God, I'm going to. How do you make a habit of cussing in church? Don't raise your hand, please. It's funny to me. I've talked about it before. I'll talk about it again. But it's funny to me. I'm the preacher. And so I'm out in town. A lot of times, or sometimes, I'll run into a conversation and somebody will be like, "Oh, I can't cuss in front of the preacher." And you know, I'm so glad they did it because my ears are so tender and my spirit is so soft that if they say a wordy dirt, it's going to hurt my feelings really bad. Now, the truth is, the preacher doesn't I care if you cuss, but I don't care if you cuss because it's going to hurt my ears. Oh, I care if you got a filthy mouth because the Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The burden I have is that you get your heart right with God. And I appreciate folks respecting me and being careful what they say around me. But the truth of the matter is, you know, we need to learn from Jonah. What did Jonah teach us? Jonah said, if I can get out of church, if I can get out of Israel, if I can get to Tarshish, God won't be there and I can be whoever I want to be. But the bottom line is, whether the preacher's there or not, or whether you're in church or not, God is there. A clear awareness that you are always in the presence of God is something that will change your life. I appreciate the respect that people show. There are certain things they won't do when I'm around. Thank you for that. But I'll just tell you something. I'm not very important. Preacher Chuck, I love him and respect him, but he's not very important. Preacher Dennis, I love you and respect you, but you're not very important. But I'll tell you who he is. God is. And he's always there. And so we should live consciously in the presence of God, knowing that God is with us. Jonah was foolish enough to think, if I can get outside of the church house, I can get away from God. But you never do. Jonah rebelled against God. Why are you asleep? Why are you so silly to think that somehow you can escape God? Wake up. God is with you. And that's not bad. That is good. You see, but Jonah, look what else it says here. I want you to see his moves. What's he doing? Is he moving toward the Lord? No, he's moving away from God. But Jonah rose up, verse number 3, to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. I like the little word went down. Three times here in the next couple of verses we see the word down. It gives us a notion of the direction you're going if you're going away from God. Are you moving on up? No, you're moving swiftly down. The Bible says he went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it. Where does he go? Down to Joppa, down into the ship. Verse number 5, the Bible says, then the mariners were afraid and cried every man to his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the side. He'd sunk as low in the ship as you could possibly go. And I want you to know something. Every step you take away from God is a step in the wrong direction. Every step you take away from a faith and trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior is a step in the wrong direction. Every time you respond to the rebellion that's in your heart and you sin against what God's already done in your life, you're not moving on up. You're taking steps in the wrong direction. You know what the greatest failure in life is? The greatest failure in life is to succeed at something that is out of God's will. I've seen so many men throw away their families for success by a worldly standard. I've seen so many mothers throw away their families for success in some notion of their own. Jonah, he may have thought, boy, I'm really going to stick it to Nineveh. Hope they all rot. Hate those people. I'm running from the presence of God. But when he thought he was doing something for the sake of God's people and against his enemy, Nineveh, you know what he was doing? Every step he took away from God, he was going deeper and deeper and deeper and further away from what was best. Down. 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 There's another thing that shows up in verse number 3. The Bible says that Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. They went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it. What did he have to do in order to ride that boat? He had to pay. Folks, I want you to know something. You run from God and God's will. There are times you look at God's will ahead of you and doing the right thing and think, man, it's a daunting task. But I'll tell you something. It costs a whole lot more to live in the flesh than it does to live for the Lord and His glory. Someone said it like this: sin costs you more than you want to pay. It keeps you longer than you want to stay. What did Jonah say? God said, Jonah, go to Nineveh. Tell them that they're sinners. And Jonah said, But Jonah, wake up. What meanest thou, O sleeper, but Jonah? Point number two. Look what the next verse says, verse number four. What does verse number four say? But the Lord. God called him, but Jonah rebelled. Is that the end for Jonah? Does God say, you good for nothing, snuff him out? Aren't you glad God doesn't treat us like that? I am so glad. Because I'd have been snuffed a long time ago. To the but Jonah moment, we have a but God. Look what God did. It may not seem nice at first, but it's perfectly gracious and kind. The Bible says, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. Why did he send a wind? So he can scare the wits out of those people just for the fun of it? No. He sent a great wind onto the sea so that the boat would rock and nearly break in two. Why? Because he loved Jonah. Because he loved the people on the ship. And we see all through Jonah's life, what's God, all through the story of Jonah that we have recorded here, I should say, in the book of Jonah. In verse number four, the Lord sent out a great wind. In verse number 17 of the same chapter, what happens? The story, we can't cover it all today, but what happens in verse number 17? The men threw Jonah overboard. What happened? The Lord, verse 17, the Lord had prepared a great fish. Why did God do that? Because he loved Jonah. The Lord prepared a great fish. It doesn't stop there. Look at verse number 10 of chapter number 2. The fish had made a great journey. And the Bible says, the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah unto the dry land. That'd have been a sight for sore eyes, wouldn't it? But who did it? The Lord. Why? Because he loved Jonah. And he loved the people of Nineveh. Chapter 4. We can't get into all this story, but I just want you to see God's at work. Verse number 4. Chapter 4, verse number 6. The Lord God prepared a gourd. Who prepared it? God did. Verse number 7, God prepared a worm. Who prepared it? God did. Verse number 8, God prepared a vehement east wind. Who prepared it? God did. Why? We'll learn later why. It's because God loved Jonah. And God loved the people of Nineveh. And God wanted Jonah to wake up. Wake up. What meanest thou, O sleeper? God speaks through a pagan mariner, the ship's captain. He says, what are you thinking? What are you doing? How can you sleep right now? And I want you to know something. Everyone in this room, if you're here today and you know the Lord Jesus Christ by faith as your Savior, we live in a storm-tossed world that needs people who love people and love God and people who want to be a help, to wake up. Stop going away from God's will, trying to hide from God's presence. Stop trying to run from the Lord and repent of our sins. You may have not been right with God since you was a teenager. Man, today's the day. Wake up. Wake up. I can guarantee you this. You can try everything the world has to offer, and you'll never come close to finding the peace and joy and satisfaction that God can bring. And while you're at it, you'll help the people around you. If we could have an interview with Jonah right now, I believe Jonah's in heaven right now with the Lord. I think he's alive and well. If we could sit down and talk to Jonah right now, you know what Jonah would tell you? He'd say, I regret every step I took away from God. And Jonah would look at you and say, hey, listen, no matter how far you've walked away, Jonah would say, hey, wake up. Wake up. Let God use your life. His way's perfect. He loves you. you're here today and you've never been saved, Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. We're all sinners. And our sin has to be paid for. You can pay for it yourself. The wages of sin is death. Or you can accept the free gift that Jesus has paid on the price, on the cross for us. You can't work your way to heaven. It's not possible. But Jesus paid the price for your sins. If you'll acknowledge the fact that you are a sinner, you'll repent and ask Jesus to forgive your sins. He'll forgive your sins and come into your heart and save your soul. Oh, it's wonderful. If you're here today and you are saved and you know God moved in your heart in the past and you're asleep at the wheel, wake up. Wake up. But God has sent a message to help us all today. Find yourself in the message and ask the Lord to change your life. I believe He can. What meanest thou, O sleeper? That's our message from Jonah chapter number 1.